Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody, what's up? And welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Today, I've got a little different show. No guests, just me. For those of you that have been regular listeners, you know that this podcast is here to help roofing contractors make more money in their businesses and have more free time to do what they want. And to do that, there's a hard way and there's an easier way. There's no easy way, but it is easier. And that's to learn from the mistakes and experience of others. I like this quote by Otto von Bismarck, the old German chancellor. Well, Otto said, "Only a fool learns from his mistakes. The wise man learns from the mistakes of others." So today I'm going to talk about some mistakes that I made over my 30 years of contracting. Some hard knock experience that I went through, but in the end it all worked out, but I got pretty nicked up. I'm going to give you some shortcuts that I wish I had when I was getting my ass kicked growing my business. But before we get into that, I want to tell you something I've learned since starting this podcast. Actually, it just confirmed what I already knew.
This is episode number 48.
And by now I can tell really what you want to hear about by the number of downloads I get each week from each of the different shows. Just like contracting, you got to know your numbers and what your prospects are looking for, what struggles they're having, and then offering them the solutions to those problems. And it's all the same, just like contracting. Anyway, my most popular shows are always how to get more leads and sell more. That's true in every business. Just look at the internet and everyone is selling you secrets to get more leads. Everyone thinks that that's a solution. My business sucks, but I just need more leads and that'll take care of it. But no question about it. As Henry Ford said, nothing happens until somebody sells something. And who doesn't want more sales? Isn't that how we make more money and have more free time? Well, I say no, it's not. At least it wasn't for me. And everyone wants to be the biggest guy in town. I have hundreds of employees, dozens of trucks rolling down the highways. Don't get me wrong, growing your business is usually a good thing, but be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. And that's a lot of work. Managing all those people, more trucks, means more risk, more stress, more cash required to feed that big machine. And it doesn't necessarily mean more money, and it probably doesn't mean you have more free time. I've never wanted to be the biggest guy in town. I just wanted to always be the most profitable. And you can do that with all sizes of companies. You just have to find what works for you and find your sweet spot. This has never been and never will be a volume-sensitive business. It's a margin-sensitive business. And I think that's where the money is. And that elusive free time. It's not a business where you can make it up in volume. It's not like the airline business. That plane's going, whether it's empty or full. So putting on another passenger, they could do it for 10 bucks and they make money off that. Contracting's different. The majority of our costs are directly related to each of the jobs. Airlines, they're all fixed cost. So it doesn't really matter. But in our business, our fixed costs are pretty low. It's a pretty small portion of the cost to stay in business. Anyway, back to my story. I talk a lot about this three-legged stool: sell work, do work, and keep score. To keep that stool strong, or to keep your business strong, each one of those legs on the stool has to be solid. If one of the legs gets weak, the whole thing can come down, and your ass is sitting on the floor, and that's not a good thing. Most of my podcast episodes have been about selling work, because that's what you want to hear about, but I think we beat that horse pretty well. Hopefully, you've kicked ass here, and that sales leg of your stool is just rock solid, because it had better be, because this time of year, with this economy, everybody is booming. Hopefully with all that work out there, you've qualified your leads so you can just cherry pick the good ones. You've worked hard to get a consistent lead flow and are able to sell your jobs for top dollar and not get yourself booked solid early on with a lot of cheap, crappy work. So there's a lot of contractors that have done that. These guys brag about having a four-month backlog and don't even answer the phone when the new prospect calls. So don't get me going. I'm always ranting about this. It's crazy. So let's get back to talking about making money. It's a lot more fun. There are two ways to make more money. First, you can sell your work for more money, and that means getting some sales training and practicing. Or go back and listen to episode number 22 with Tom Reber on how to sell your roofing services for more money. Or second, you can do the work for less cost. We've already covered the sell work part. Now you have work, and it is what it is. You're probably not going to get any more money for it. So let's talk about doing work. And that means doing it by squeezing every last dollar out of it. And that doesn't mean beating up your suppliers or your people to get it done cheaper. It's, in fact, just the opposite. You've got to have everybody wanting to kick ass for you and working smarter. And that means taking care of them, answering their question, what's in it for me? But that's an entirely different show, which we'll do for another day. But the problem is that many of you have more work than you can handle. And that's not a good thing. I said more work than you can handle. And that usually means chaos. That's why you don't want to have a four-month backlog. Customers are screaming at you to do their job. A couple of guys quit all of a sudden because they're working 60-hour weeks. And so now you throw some warm bodies up there to fill it in, and someone gets hurt. Now, quality starts sucking. Now the second leg is getting pretty weak, the production leg of our stool. Material deliveries are getting screwed up because they're not getting the POs out. Scorekeepers aren't getting the information from the field, so they can't turn that around and get it out to the jobs. So you don't know if the job's going south or not. You're starting to turn winners into losers. You know, customers are getting pissed off. They're not paying their bills now. And you're running out of cash. And remember, a lot of contractors go out of business when they're booming. They just ran out of cash. But now your third leg is getting pretty weak. It's, we're in trouble now. And on it goes. More leads aren't going to save you now. All right, so let's take a step back and make some money doing this work. I said I was going to talk about my experience and how not to do it. Today, I like to think I have pretty good judgment. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. That's a quote from me. But I made a lot of mistakes when it came to production and keeping that second leg of the stool strong. We didn't have any systems in place, and without systems and checklists, it's going to be a different ballgame. And that's when hope becomes your business strategy, and that usually doesn't work out well. I mentioned the hard way and the easier way. The easier way is usually doing the work up front, like measure twice, cut once. The hard way is to do it over again, which always costs more and takes more time. And that's not how we make more money and have more free time to do what we want. So here's some examples of how I learned the hard way. The first one has to be about 25 years ago, where I sold a job and we were slow. So I quickly wrote up the job, the work order, and just chicken scratch. So the crews went out to do the job. I get a call from the homeowner. They're asking me why we were tearing off the neighbor's roof. It's like, oops. So I wrote down the wrong address, and guess who got a free roof? Or how many times have you left a ladder, your equipment out on the job after you're finished? And always thought maybe we should just stencil our name on there and say, with compliments, just keep it. It would have been cheaper than sending someone back to pick it up. So we had no real quality control. And we had a lot of leaks in our roof and pissed off customers. And then you had the cost to go back and fix it up. Communication with the customer wasn't good, so there were a lot of misunderstandings that could have easily been avoided. To see all this, all you got to do is just go to Yelp and look at all the one-star reviews and see how many ways that there are to screw up. It makes some good reading, but it's just amazing. Over and over again, same mistakes. Well, I was tired of doing it the hard way. I wanted to do it the easier way, and that's what we did. It started off with simple checklists, and every time something screwed up, we'd take a look at it and ask how this could have been avoided, and what's the best way to do it, get the best practices down. You do a lot of jobs every year, and if we had a system or checklist and did it the same every time, be boom, make more money, have more free time. So let's set our goals for what we want to happen when we're producing this work and making that second leg strong. So our first goal, get in and out with the most amount of profit. Good, that's a good goal. All right, number two, have a happy, happy customer that pays his bills and also gives you a five-star review. Number three is have them refer you to other like-minded customers that appreciate value and aren't going to beat you down on the price. Number four, least amount of time supervising and admin time. We want to keep our overhead low. All right, so let's get into this. This is what we did. It worked for us, and hopefully it works for you, because maybe some good ideas here that you can use some of it. But basically, we had a standard operating procedure, as we did in everything in the company. It really just came down to some checklists. So I'm going to just kind of tick these things off. It's not rocket science. It's all basic stuff that hopefully you're doing anyway, but maybe you'll come up with a couple ideas. All right. I break this down into a few areas. One is it starts with assembling the job package. So now we've got a sole job, got to put a job package together. The second thing is we're going to set up a pre-job where we've got communication with the owner. It's kind of a game plan, and then we've got a handoff from whether it's sales to superintendent or to your foreman, whoever's going to do the job, however that works out. And three, we're going to talk about what to do during the job that is a way to improve our profits. Four is a post-job package. That's after the job's complete. We're going to meet with the owner, meet with our guys, kind of go over things, see how it went. And then we've got something a week later or maybe a month later, and we'll get into that. To make sure we've got a happy customer. All right, so let's get into this. All right, so the first, it's assembling the job package. We've got a sole job. Need to identify who's going to do this. Could be admin staff. We had the salesman do it. They assembled the package. First thing is we've got a contract. Contract needs to be reviewed. Make sure everything's in order. We've got a job write-up, write up the job, explain what's going to be done, all that information. We all know what that is. We've got a budget. Here's the budget. This is how long we think it's going to take or how long it should take. And we need to have that in there because, obviously, we've got to give the foreman something to work on and everybody knows where we're at. Material list with a purchase order, and that's how we did it. Didn't send out the purchase order at that point, but it was filled out, had all the materials down there. Permit, who's going to get the permit? Got to be in the job package before we get started. And we would have a map in there. It's pretty old school, but need to have that. Need to have something in there so they know where they're going. The nearest hospital to the job. It's just something that in case there's an emergency, they know where they have to go. Next, we've got a pre-job. This is critical. A lot of companies don't do pre-jobs, and this is where things screw up. This is how we roofed the wrong house. We didn't go out to the job before, get the plan. So this has a number of different purposes. One is we would go out, we'd have the salesman, the superintendent, and the foreman that was going to do the job. And they would meet out there at the job site. We got to do a handoff. So here's how he sold the job. Get it to the foreman. Make sure it's done right. And what we would do, we've got to have communication with the owner. So we always wanted the owner to be there. But first, we'd get up on the roof, do our own thing, and then we'd bring them in there. You've got to have the handoff go smoothly. And what we did, we had the budget. Here's how many days you've got to do this job. He would take a look around. He'd do his own measurements, put his material list together, and kind of do a duplicate thing. But we would come back together. All right, here's how he sees the job. Here's how the job was sold. You've got to have everybody on the same page before you get off that roof and start the job. And that was something that we had a superintendent that would somewhat referee. Salesman, always a little optimistic. Foreman, maybe a little pessimistic on it. So they'd have to come up with an agreement on the number of man days to complete this job. And if they couldn't do it, they'd have to come back to my office and sit down and we'd talk about it. They would always want to avoid that. So it was very rare that they couldn't work it out. We've got a number of other things that we want to discuss. We've got the communication with the owner, which is critical. First question, how does the owner want to be communicated with? Could be text, could be call, could be email. What are they comfortable with? You want to introduce them to the foreman who's going to be running the job. He should have a business card. Give him the card. He's the contact. Here's, if you have any questions, go directly to him. You've got to train your guys basically on common courtesy. And we did this with everybody, that here could be a neighbor walking down the street, ask you a question. Hey, you know, what do you got? Well, they would have a business card. So here, take our card, give us a call. They may come up to one of your lower level guys. Got to make sure that they understand about courtesy, what they should be doing, so there's no surprises. And that's the time that we want to explain how there may be some extras and change orders on the job. And this is the procedure for the way this is going to work out. We're going to have this form. You're going to need to sign it and approve it, but we'll tell you upfront what the cost is going to be. But you need to realize that we're tearing off this roof. Chances that the decking is going to be bad. We're going to find some things we don't know. Go over that with the customer. Make sure they understand how that works. Then what we would do, which worked pretty well, is explain how our goal is for you to write a 5-star review. And we would tell them that we want a happy customer. And if you do that, the crew gets a little bonus. They know that going in, because we're going to ask everybody for that 5-star review. And we want to make sure that they're set up, that they're going to give us one. I want to go over the payment terms again. So make sure they've got the money. You want to do that beforehand, because hopefully you're picking up a check or have picked up a check as a deposit. This is how it's going to go. We want to make sure you got the dough. We don't want to have you sell some stocks in the meantime or some kind of deal that it's going to be some kind of surprise. Just go over with what's the plan. Here's how we're going to do it. Got to go over the yard, see what needs to be covered, how this is going to work. What about porta potty or toilet, or those things need to be reviewed. Make sure everybody's on the same page. The first thing that we would always do is look at the job as an overview and see what can go wrong, because things are going to go wrong. That's always really important. Just to take a look, be ready for these things. Big one is material placement. Where is the material going to go? Whether you're going to load it yourself or you're going to have your supplier take it up there. You want to have it marked off, or you want to have a diagram. It's a huge cost where material has to be moved, and it's a huge interruption. This usually happens 3, 4, 5 times in a job. You're constantly moving rolls, you're moving shingles. Something's always in the way, and it's not set up properly. And that's a big place where profit is lost. You want to go over with the owner when the job's going to start, how many days it's going to take, and give yourself a little leeway and explain to them, you know, hey, we may run into surprises, but this is what we're looking for.
And here's an area where a lot of guys screw up and it really pisses customers off. And I've had work done on my house and had this happen, and it really pisses me off. It's when the job is started, a few days go by, all of a sudden nothing. You don't hear anything. Nobody calls. Let the customer know what's going on. Or in my case, guys just don't show up. I'm like, hey, where the hell are they? So that's not good. You got to communicate with your customer always. And what happens a lot of times is obviously you have a rain day, you can't work. So call a customer and explain to them, make sure they understand and can appreciate the fact that, hey, we got a rain forecast. And what happens so often, it's supposed to rain for, you know, 2-3 o'clock this afternoon. It's sunny in the morning. They call up and go, hey, what's going on here? Where are you? Well, you got to explain to them. It's, you want to make the call? Be my guest. But we can't take a chance tearing your roof off and have a rainstorm come in. But it really just comes down to common courtesy and communication with your customer. And it's going to go a long ways to being appreciated. The rule that I had at my company was if a customer ever called in asking where we were, we got a big problem. It's to always head that off and call them, make sure they know so they don't have to call us. Enough said there. And also,
make sure they understand it is going to be loud and dirty while we're tearing off this roof or doing a lot of the work. You can't overestimate that enough. It's going to be a problem. So you want to head that off. What about electrical wiring? Is that a problem? Driveways, you know, how many times you gone in the driveway, brought your trucks in, driveway's cracked, or so he says it's cracked, and we get into that whole deal. That's the pre-job conference. Getting that job started off right, making sure everybody's on the same page. Before you get started, looking at what can go wrong and getting set up for a good job. What I always hear is takes too much time to do all that, particularly on the smaller jobs. But the smaller jobs are where the biggest screw-ups are going to be. And we just found that it always paid for itself when we did that. And it was a job cost that we would add to the job. And what we did, we pulled our foreman off the existing job that he was doing at the time. We'd all meet over at the new job. His second man would take over for him. And that also gave the second man experience in running the crew for a little while. So it worked out well. It always paid for itself, and it made us a lot of money. Next, let's get into what we did during the job. Well, first thing, obviously, is you get your job sign up. Maybe you put some door knockers around, excuse their dust to the immediate neighbors. You might want to get an email program going to the neighborhood. Let them know to come by, check out the job while you're doing it. Make sure everything looks clean and tidy. You're going to go over the budget versus actual every day throughout the job. Want to make sure that everybody knows how many days you got into the job, how many days you got left to complete, and make sure we're heading on to that target. If there's a problem and we're not going to make our target, got to regroup, stop, everybody huddle, figure out what we need to do to make that number. But they've got to hit those targets. Material placement, we talked about that. Dump, disposal, however that's going to happen, make sure that's taken care of. Daily cleanup, critical. Make sure that everything is covered. Make sure that everything's cleaned up, no nails on the ground. It's a huge issue and can cause some real problems. I'm one for no radios. Some people like them. I think it's bush league. Lumberyard runs or back to the material supplier. That's a big problem. You cannot have that happening. And you got to know anytime that's going on and just need to get better and better. Make sure that the materials are on there. If they're not, who's responsible? Salesman didn't fill out the purchase order correctly. Foreman didn't have all the materials that he needed on the job. Should have picked that up. Got to have that running smoothly because that can be a real time suck. Also, a time tracker app. That'll let you know if there's any material runs happening. But also, get the most current labor reports, making sure that you're getting what you're paying for. When they get to the job, there's no hanky-panky going on. So that's a huge one. You can check out episode number 16 with Dean Logan. He has a great app that we talked about and some pretty good tips on that. Keep your labor in control. Anytime you go by the job, always brought maybe some sandwiches or at least sodas. It goes a long ways. So make sure that you're showing your appreciation for the crew. They're out there hopefully busting their ass for you. And you want to let them know that you appreciate it. Overtime, that can be a big deal. I never had a problem with overtime because if they could finish that job up a day ahead, time and a half, that's all fine. But they would have to call in and check first, get it approved, and normally we would. Document every day. It's easy enough with a number of programs to upload photos from the job. Goes a long ways with the owner to give them an update. That's why I like texts to keep the update with the owner. It's easy. Send a couple of pictures. Let them know how the progress is. Everything's great. Change orders. We talked about that. Get your change orders signed and get them paid at that time. Don't wait till the end. They're due at the completion of the change order. And that's about it during the job. So let's get into the post-job package. Now our job's complete. We kicked ass. We made a ton of money. The crew's on to the next job, which they already did their pre-job. They're all set. And now we're moving on to kick ass on the next one. The first thing we did, we had a quality control checklist that we called the Perfect 10. There were 10 items, the 10 most common problems that we've had in the past that have caused leaks or caused customer complaints, whatever it might be. And you check those off as we would send a technician back. He would inspect these items. And if they were perfect, you get a check. If you get a perfect 10, the crew would get a bonus. It worked out great for us. And these would be items. So we used to have a lot of problems at our outlets. Check those off. Make sure that they were sealed on the outside, caulked, pipe flashings, all the little things that can go wrong and that cause customer complaints. How does the job look from an appearance standpoint? How does a customer see it? We all know that if there's one piece of bent metal over the front door, as far as the customer is concerned, that roof is no good. We take all of those things into consideration, make sure that we didn't left a ladder behind, and check it off, it's done. Also, this is something we use in our sales presentation of quality control. This is how we make sure that you've got good quality and there's no problems with the job. It was a differentiator for us and helped us sell our jobs for more money. Now we're going to meet with the owner. We're going to show him the perfect 10, how everything went well, everything's taken care of. We're going to go over the warranty package with him. Ask if there's any questions they had, ask how everything went. If there was a problem, that's the time to deal with it. If everything was great, fantastic. Then we're going to ask them to give us a review that we talked about originally. We already set them up, and easy enough, okay. Then if you're satisfied, could we get a 5-star review from you? Can you refer us to your friends? Make it easy for them. Give them a card with the links on how to do their reviews or send them back to your website, but just keep it simple. Now that the job's complete, you want to get the neighbors to come by and check it out. And this is job site proximity or radius marketing. And in episode 19, we had Tim Mush on that talked about 6 keys to getting more leads. This is with Market Sharp, and they had a great program. You could send out postcards automatically. The goal is that you want to get one additional job for each job you do in a neighborhood. And after the job's done, we always want to do what we call a postmortem, which is a review of how the job went. So we've got the foreman, salesman, superintendent, kind of look over what went right, what went wrong. And we look at budget versus actuals, whether the material was right on, what kind of problems we might have had. Our completed job should be that we hit it hard and we increased our profit by doing all these things. So yeah, all this takes too much time, but I'll tell you, it's worth it. So it's just a matter of getting it down, getting it done. And then we would have the final checklist for the job package. Once everything's complete, everybody signs off, check it off, gets filed away. Now we're still not done. We can go back and look at maybe a week later, maybe even a month later. We're going to send a little thank you gift to our customer. Some companies have sent brownies. That's always been a pretty good deal. A coffee cup, you know, something that works pretty well are these plastic clips, believe it or not. They're to clip on the bags with your names on it. People love that. My father, he had... this is going way back, but it was a lady's hair bonnet or whatever it was to keep their hair dry. And it would be this plastic little thing. And I guess women used those back in the day. But he had a ton of those things. And the ladies loved him. It was great. But he was always ahead of his time. This is a good time to, again, ask for a review if you haven't gotten it. If you haven't gotten your ask for referrals. Here we are now. The job's complete. We take a look at it. These are all things that we did that really improved our margins. And in my company, we had high margins, and that was what we always focused on. I never wanted to be the biggest guy in town, just the most profitable. Why not do half the work for the same amount of money? Less risk, less stress. That way I had the free time to do the things that I wanted to do, and that was what was important to me. Well, that's it for the show today. I hope everybody got value out of this. If you did, I would really appreciate it if you go to iTunes and leave me a review, or you can go to my website at theroofershow.com. Click on the show notes, and you'll see how to leave a review. Click on that, and it'll take you to iTunes, and give me some feedback. I'd really appreciate it. In the meantime, thanks for stopping by, and check out my website at theroofershow.com, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.